Ja, danke.
Level two with Angel,
Chris,
and our guest today.
Go ahead and say your names.
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Shit, dude, was Jennifer today?
Damn.
Just kidding.
Hi, I'm Nizalda.
Who's your friend, Jennifer?
Pablo.
Hi, Pablo. I'm Pablo. No, I'm Emilio. Nice to meet you guys.
Holy shit, bro. All right, Chris is plugged in.
Let's I'm just making sure we're all good. We're all good. All
right. So,
who are you again?
Nizalda.
Nice. This is Nizalda.
Emilio.
This is Emilio. And you might remember them from such a thing that they did that Chris liked to talk about last year. If you were watching the Us Podcast Season 1, which you all should have been, you would have heard about Chris's little venture into a project called Instant Crush.
Yes, we shot that last year. Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, last year.
It's so weird. It came out this year. And I was just thinking about it because I was getting ready for this interview, and I'm like, damn, it kind of feels like a lifetime ago. I barely remember that set, to be honest.
I mean, it's a lot of crush. All of us at this table have been really busy doing
this. Very true.
Yeah. But yeah, I would love to frame this so for people that don't know who they are, go on their fucking socials. It's going to pop out right here. Do a fucking deep dive. Watch all their shit.
Please do.
Come back, and now you know who they are.
And actually, to their credit, some of you I might actually be here because... specifically for them, because you know and you love who these people are,
and us too.
And us too. I mean, yeah, you're for us as well.
I think you know why you're
we have clout as well. We also as well have clout, but
I don't.
There's all this one without clout.
That's cloutless. A lie. That okay.
I want to take you back to before Instant Crush started shooting. I want to know. The very first thing I want to know about you is, tell me about your life right before you auditioned for Instant Crush. What were you doing? How did it feel like? Where were you in your life before you even stepped foot into the audition room?
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Life before I stepped into the audition room, I don't know, it was pretty like standard, you know, on the hustle and grind, doing auditions, trying to eat right, go to the gym and stuff like that. But the moment before my audition, like the literal moment prior to walking into like the Meet Do offices, I remember being sort of exhausted and sort of like tired, a little not fed up with the marathon or the hustle of trying to do creative things in this industry, but you know, just overall long day. I think it was like a 4 o'clock audition. And maybe for whatever reason, that exhaustion brought a sort of relaxation to the audition, and mm-hmm. or maybe that was just Chris's energy while being in that room. But it definitely translated into a pretty memorable audition. Definitely like top three that I've ever had in my life.
Top three audition.
For sure.
Well, I mean, I think a big part of that has to do with the fact that I fucking offered it to him in the room.
Absolutely.
When they completely told me not to do that.
Really,
I think did I do that with you too? I think I pretty much
you
said.
You did not.
What did I did something. I did something to you. You said that made you nervous. Oh, before you came in, I said, "Hey, I followed you on Instagram. You're awesome," or something like that.
Yeah, and it was like, "Wow, no pressure." And then, like after the fact, he's like, "No, I did that to make you feel good." I'm like, "No, you put pressure on me."
Nope. This is weird.
You made this way worse.
Yeah, you were creeping on my page.
No, so, exhausted. That's crazy. That's crazy because you wouldn't think like. I like that it almost framed the Instant Crush audition to just be like, it's just another one of these, you know, like, ah, oh, it's another popping in and out. I mean, you went in, you didn't go in cynically, but you were just, you know, like, it's another one.
Well, and then also like the vibe of that audition too, like it came out of nowhere. Like it was so much of a random blessing of just like, oh, like, I think I had found out about it, like, the day or day or two before. Like,
it was literally the day before, I remember.
Yeah, that. Like, can you just come in? And I was just like, I think when you don't know what to expect, along with the exhaustion and, like, just being tired, when you don't know what to expect, when you don't have any, like, preconceived ideas or notions, I think that always allows for, like, some real, like, creative magic to happen, because there's no hold bars. Like, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's always
the best part. Audition for Spider-Man. Kind of know what they want from
yeah
you, you know?
It's like, true, yeah, and there's this pressure of like, oh, I'm going for this big role with this big company, but at the time I didn't know what Me Too was, I didn't know what those offices were about, I didn't know, you know, Chris and what his goal and mission was, so yeah, that was my life prior.
Well, you kind of did know what Me Too was. I don't want to like completely like be fact checker here.
Chris turned into me.
Yeah,
actually, Mamelio, you were affiliated with them before.
That's
dude,
true.
We need a fucking buzzer.
Busted.
I say that because that's pretty much how I found Emilio. I've told this story before, but really quick. We were running through all these actors. Nobody good was coming. Just a bunch of pretty boys that were trying to, you know, be dorky.
And here came this ugly, horrendous 6'3" toger.
Opposite of a pretty boy guy.
That's not what I'm trying to say, but I'm going to finish the story. I'm going to streamline through.
They just didn't want to make me look that bad.
No, yeah. And then even Nizalda was saying, like, which one of these pretty boys am I going to get paired with? Yeah, yeah. Because she was just like, which pretty boy are you going to pick or something like that. I'm like, see, this is why I'm telling you this is tough. But when we were looking for Andy, I was dead serious about, like, it has to be somebody better or me. Like, because I'm like, cause I can't see anybody else that could do this. Yeah. Role as well as like, because I knew the material and I kind of had originally wrote it for myself, but I wasn't excited to do it, but if I had to, I was gonna.
If I had to, said something to you when you were like, I can do it, and they're like, they said something about that.
Yeah, they were just like, no, pretty much just like no.
Chris is like, you know what? I think I need to do it. It's like, shit.
Well, dude, could you imagine you were wearing so many hats in that production process already? Yeah, to be an actor on
I literally told, well, that's another story, but yes. But yes, they were sending, everybody was just sending me a bunch of people, and I just was saying like, no, I guess, whatever, sure, fine. And then I get this random email, and I found it recently, and I emailed it to Emilio. And it was this thing that Me Too had done in partnership with like Dodgers called First Dates. It's Emilio. He's wearing like a 5 o'clock shadow. He's just like, what's up? I'll just play. Here's the video.
I'm in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium for the World Series Game 2. And I'm about to go on a blind date.
So that's the video. What? And that was...
wait, he was like, wait, all of a sudden, wait, hold on. How does this movie magic work? I didn't see any... What?
You know what? Perfect time to pull out the fucking
Let's
video
pull it
you
up.
Were talking about.
You know what? This is gonna take a minute.
Oh, this is how that works.
This is, put the video.
That wasn't that a great video?
Where's the cartoon?
It was like actual terror in my eyes.
I have not been informed.
I wish we could do that.
Do you know? Do you know what this is?
No. And I also want to see his audition tape.
Oh,
if that's okay.
Oh, shit.
I don't want to see any of this. I did a little. I don't even know what to call this. I guess. Reality spot. It was a blind date. Essentially, I was set up with another girl.
A real one?
Yeah.
I don't know. How honest are we being on this podcast right now? Because if you're going to bust me out and say that I did this, which I did do, and I'm not ashamed of it, but it's not necessarily, it wasn't necessarily a blind date. Like,
a blind date, there you go, that's what it's called.
You know, I went.
It's like you knew who it was going to be.
Well, the person is like an actress. Like, at the time, she was more famous or had more clout than me. Like, I remember they stopped her at the Dodger game, like, fans were like, oh my god, so obviously this wasn't just like a random, you know, Houston Astros fan. Oh man, are we really spilling the tea right now? do you want the real stuff before you play this, because there is a background story to this whole thing.
Go.
Okay, there's no way to pause
this,
huh?
Yeah, we could.
Okay, wait. Hold on. We don't have to pause, but maybe off the record real quick, don't include this.
Boom, 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 boom. Okay, never mind. Yeah, never mind.
Oh man, I'm sorry, guys.
No, I'm sorry. I should have had that ready to go. I forgot that's even part of our history. But anyway, let's get back to it.
Womp womp.
Well, maybe so. We maybe so editor Chris in the future. If you find it, just screen it. But from what you remember, yeah, that's pretty much the end of the story. That's how I found Amelia.
Yeah,
I saw that video.
Me Too Blind Date.
Yeah, Me Too Blind Date. I saw that video. I said, this food kind of looks like me. I want him on the show. And
yeah, as you can tell.
Yeah, as you can clearly see.
This food looks like me.
So we brought him on. And I just remember, like, the first time I met him, he was just so excited. Like, he saw me with, like, my big jacket and this fucking chain, and then he's just like, he's just like, is this, like, I hope this is, like, the director or something. I see him like, what's up, are you Emilio? And then fucking give each other a big hug. He was like a big brother. He's just like fucking excited. Hey man,
slapped
yeah,
his back.
Love the script. I really connected with it. Had a great.
I know Emilio to like well enough to know that's the first thing he does.
Absolutely,
definitely.
But it was such a such a sweet moment, and then yeah, thanks, like he Chris. Was killing it. I remember we were filming, and I just said, "It's yours," and everyone was like, "Chris," and I was like, "We have to shoot next week." I'm like, I don't want him to like not be preparing like as soon as possible. I'm like, "Yes, it's yours," and we're gonna try to. We have to get it confirmed first by all the big heads, the big wigs.
So bold.
Yeah.
Chris is like, I don't give a fuck.
I have another bold moment. I have another bold moment I told you about Nizalda. But Nizalda, first tell us, as Angel began the question with, like, what was your life like before Instant Crush? I know, it's been so long.
Now it's your turn.
In life, just before the audition, I had just moved downtown. And I had been in a place that was supposed to be transitional, where I was living beforehand, and it ended up being a long-term thing. And so I was pretty down, and moving downtown was kind of me starting over. And it was actually really funny because my hair was like down to my hips. It was really long.
Wow.
And then my agent dropped me, and
I remember
just
this.
Yeah, all of these things happened at the same time, and I'm here like panicking because at least an actor that's trying to take herself seriously. It's like, oh my God, I don't have representation. What am I going to do? But then I just kind of decided to let it go. And shortly after, I chopped my hair off and decided I was going to start over. And
the Mowgli look, as you called it, if I remember correctly.
The Mowgli look?
Yeah, I'm Mowgli. I'm Mowgli. I climb trees with short, scraggly hair. But yeah, and then Jen reached out.
Yes, who costume ended up, designer Jen. Jen Martin.
Yeah, she ended up being
amazing.
Shout out.
She's awesome.
Shout out, Jen, for sure.
But I had worked with her on a project like 5 years prior, 4 years prior, and we'd never spoken in between. We were just social media buddies, and she reached out saying that someone she knows is casting something for Me Too, and then I don't even think it was your project. I think it was something else, but somehow came around to you. I'm not sure.
I just, so from what I remember on my end is people just kept saying, hey, like Jen came up to me. She's like, hey, I have this friend that I want to bring in. And I told you this before, like, I just wasn't impressed by your headshot. So I was just like, okay. I was like, okay.
They were pretty bad.
Yeah. No, but like, it was just, you know what? Because as I told you, like, you weren't how I imagined Cindy. But I didn't know that
at
you
all.
Weren't Cindy.
Like, I read the script and it's like, she has long
hair. Long
I'm
hair,
like, God damn it.
Long
I just
hair, freckles,
it.
Glasses and stuff. Like, shit like that. Like, that's how I pictured her because it was based off of a childhood.
Duh.
You know, fling. Yeah, right there.
Duh.
He's right there. So that's why when I saw that, I'm like, I know she's just trying to help out her actor friend. So I said, okay. I said, yeah, sure. So I said, let's bring her in. They brought you in. And I just remember that I remember what's the word? Kind of like passively. Oh, indifferently, just kind of like agreed to let you come,
let's give this kid a
chance. Let's give the kid a shot. And then I remember they come to me and they've been like, okay, so Nizalda just auditioned. I'm like, who? And then they're like, my friend.
Dude, this is.
We're being honest.
Wow.
We're being completely honest. Right. We're family.
We're all
this
family.
Is family.
No, it's okay.
It's that kind of podcast.
Exactly. It's that kind
we
of podcast.
We've got very different.
Yeah, I know.
Dude.
Yeah, I see
facts.
What I mean.
Yeah,
facts, bro.
Great.
Oh
yeah,
my
you
God.
You see what I mean? Oh,
yeah.
Was it like that for you? No.
No, it was tough.
I just got here a week ago. What's happening?
That's actually a funny parallel. But anyway, so they showed me her interview. They showed me her audition. They said, if we get her. That just means that we're not going to be able to put this on TV because of some SAG thing that you have. And I just remember thinking, like, okay. I was like, whatever.
Some, like, SAG thing.
Something
that prevents me
that,
from allowing
that, that
to
really,
publicize.
That really made me look dumb in front of actors. Actors, sorry, I'm not well-versed in your SAG rules, but
that
I knew it was a SAG thing
little,
that for some...
Your little club.
Your little baseball club. And so I just remember, like, I just remember there was just all these things. I was just like, why is everybody making a big deal about this person? And then I see her auditions, dude. And I actually do have that locked and loaded, ready to go. Like, you have to see it. You don't want to watch it?
I don't. But
I want to watch it,
dude. I'll tell you a moment. There's a moment in the video where she just goes like, "I'm Cindy Castro," and I was just like,
"How? How did you do that?"
I was like, "How did she become Cindy right before my eyes?" And I just remember, and I tell you, this is the bold part of the story. I was watching on my phone.
The biopic moment.
Yeah, the biopic moment. I'm looking at it, and I was just like, "What?" And I was just like. And I got up from my seat. I walked over because remember, Me Too had those like glass see-through offices and stuff. Yeah. And I went up to one of their business rooms and like I put my phone against. I said like, I don't want to see anybody else. It's her. This is Cindy.
Oh my god.
And they were like, Chris, we still have to audition the rest of the girls we booked today.
Like
but
20 girls,
like, but good to know that you like her. I'm like, okay.
It's like this is the one, but okay, I'll audition more.
Yeah, we'll audition more.
Wow. I appreciate that.
Let's whip it up.
Let's do it. Woo!
Now that I actually have these things ready to go.
Right. And you have Emilio's too?
I can pull it up, yeah.
Fuck yes.
Gonzalo.
Yeah, dog. We're coming for you too.
Dude. Did you know we were doing this?
No.
Gonzalo Gonzalez Union. She loves the project.
Nice.
Here we are.
That's the headshot you weren't impressed with?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that one. Me neither.
She is Union. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Yes. Oh my god! You're so cute!
Here we go.
Look at my cheeks. Look at her. Huge.
Hi. Thank you so much. I'm sorry, lady. I'm not trying to buy a dog right now.
What?
Oh, no, I'm not trying to sell anything. I found this pug trapped under the rose bushes outside. No collar or anything. Sorry.
Oh, this takes me back. Oh, that's it. I live here. I was so right there. I live here. Like, I was just like, that's Cindy. Look at that.
I like your choice.
You know that Hispanic point, though.
I like your choice of hat.
Thank you.
I realize this is
going to
sound really random and weird, but do you think you could take care of her? Just for the day while I'm in class, I'll come right back. I promise.
You did exactly the same on the show. That's fucking nuts. Yeah, that's your first one.
Wow.
That was I knew you had like three other reads, but I was just like, I'm fucking sold on
this.
These.
Is crazy.
100%.
So you saw that and you were like, boom.
Like that's literally, I was sold. And someone said, just watch more of her, just so you're sure.
Wow.
And look at her Mowgli haircut.
Mowgli.
Wow.
Oh,
dude, she's doing the scene by the pool, by the way.
I was rebelling.
That hat really changes your face.
Thank you, Amy.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.
And our favorite parts of those movies were always the gifts the guys would give their girls.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
How does it feel? Wait.
I'm in pain.
He's not on there.
No, again,
he was super last minute.
No, yeah.
I shot that on my phone.
Yeah, it was on a phone.
Yeah, I shot that on my phone.
Where is it?
Wow. We don't.
No,
oh my god.
You can't do your.
It's somewhere. It's, you know what? I'll pull it up. It's somewhere in the archives though.
That's crazy.
So we won't see it, but
we're not gonna see it, but the audience will see it for sure.
You know, it's been my biggest fear to know that casting companies all over LA and maybe the world have these tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. These archives of shitty auditions where I've just bombed.
I don't know about shitty. Like, you got the job.
That was pretty good.
Got the job, kid.
True. But the ones
you got the
yeah, there was like 1,000 auditions before that. You have no idea. And we made the weirdest choices, probably.
Oh my god! Oh yeah.
And they're all in the internet.
Yeah. They're all gonna resurface.
Oh, yeah.
Someone's probably doing the exact opposite, being like, "Bro, there's just the worst audition I've ever seen. Hold on, let me pull it up." And then they're like pulling up one of yours. Probably.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
That's gonna be fun.
Thanks.
But yeah,
thanks,
that
Angel.
Was.
Yes.
So Angel, I'm curious, why did you post
a spin-off podcast? Thanks, Angel.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, Angel. What was what were you trying to like go with asking about before of Instant Crush?
I just always like knowing kind of like where someone was before they kind of like did this big moment in their lives. Like just because like I like knowing that someone like Nizalde is like fucking like super struggling and like having like such a hard time with life, and then fucking just fate brings people together to make something super dope. And yeah. I think hearing that is like super important for people that are just like, fuck man, I can't catch a break. It's like sometimes shit just comes a week before it's meant to. You know?
Definitely.
Yeah, so, for sure.
It's a little lesson for everybody out there, for the kids, you know? Just chill.
Yeah,
just
Instant Crush was such a weird one. I'm going to officially say, like, this is the last I'm ever going to talk about this, but... Like, nah. Like on the air. I will. Yeah. I will. It ends here. But
we'll see.
But like I told you, like right before, like we had one of like the bigger like official production meetings of Instant Crush. Like that's when I got like the final text, like nailing the coffin of the end of that like last relationship. And
you did tell me that.
It was right before, like literally the week it happened. I was supposed to turn in my first drafts, and I was in so much pain. I was telling this story to my new girlfriend actually the other day. Oh yeah, no. No, you know.
Thanks.
I told you.
No, you didn't say it was
like... Dude, I straight up called Melia. I was like, bro, I had sex for the first time.
Whoa.
First time, but for the first time in a long... For the first time.
Chris and I have a very close relationship. But just because you call me and you say that you have sex with an individual that didn't... I didn't automatically imply
that. You're right.
But that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm so glad I did.
I'm so glad you didn't call me.
Well, no, yeah, I was recounting just how like I really had to like because Jose, shout out Oscar's boyfriend Jose, we were having a drive and he was asking me, when do you feel like you create your best work? And I said, for sure when I'm happy. But I said the exception to that is right before Instant Crush. Like that was when like the breakup had just happened, and I was just at the end of everything, and I had so much running through my mind. Almost to the point where I wanted to just email me to him and be like, you know what? I don't want to do the show anymore. Shit. And I was like, no, I can't blow this opportunity like that. And so I remember I had to spend the whole day. Like I opened up all the blinds in my house and I just forced myself to revisit, even though like these memories were pulled from like specific moments of that relationship. And like I had to craft this new draft of Instant Crush. And I was just, I remember it was such a long day, and I would like take breaks in between to go like puke or cry or something. Ooh. And then at the end of it, when I finished it, I did my revisions, and at the end, I remember I just like sobbed and I like went to sleep like that, just because it took so much out of me, and I was just so exhausted by the end of it. And it's nice to know that, I don't know, like it, when I watch it now, it's just like it. Like to me, I'm glad that I can't even tell that I was at all really sad during that time. Like I completely let myself live in the world. I'm like, you know what? Right now, this whole set is a place of like love and friendship, and I just want to celebrate that. I was like, and when I was there, like, we were just talking about this in the car, like, we're just in the moment, you know?
Yeah, bro, and you didn't even smoke back then?
Not really, no. No?
I know.
Yeah?
You do.
I remember one of the first times me and Emilio hung out just to talk about the character. He's all, like, rolling a joint. He's like, you want some of this, bro? And I wasn't a stoner yet, and I was just like, no, thanks.
There was definitely some judgment, too. There was like, no, I'm a super up-and-coming director. All I do is watch movies and write scripts. I don't waste my time and dabble in that.
I think weed in movies is completely overrated. In fact, I create my own drugs. You remember I told you that? Yeah, I had that conversation with you.
Yeah, you were like, he said that exact same
That's
thing.
That's why Spank is in Gage Bull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you said it like as a like a fucking pretentious thing. I create my own drugs.
No,
like,
yeah.
In life, like, you know.
Oh, no.
I get high on life.
No, that's absolutely pretentious. But no, I didn't. Yeah. That was my life back then, and that's why I don't know, it's cool. It's cool now that like yeah, we're all completely different from those people.
To fucking now.
Yeah.
Do you feel, all three of you, do you feel like Instant Crush got the recognition that it deserved? Yeah, we'll start with you, Chris.
No, I was gonna say I'd like to hear from the actors first, because I think we all have different opinions.
I'll say, you know what? No, you take it.
I was like,
no, you take it.
Hold up.
The guys have been talking a lot.
That's like, true. That's true. Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, I. No.
Hell no.
No.
I agree. I no disrespect to any distribution that it did get. And thank you to everyone that watched and supported. And maybe there are people that are still finding it and hopefully binging it now.
Yeah, and hopefully discover it through this podcast.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a slow burn. You know, sometimes like you put something out and then it takes a little bit of time to find some traction or for the right person to see it and put it on a bigger platform. So it's not to say that it's definitely done and it didn't get the recognition it deserved. But I definitely think there are so many more people that need to see it. I think it could definitely do with a wider audience and a bigger platform because it's such a relatable story. It's real.
And I'm not just agreeing just because it's my thing.
That's right. That's right.
No, honestly, I'm not going to lie to y'all. There was a point where I was completely, and I'll confess this like on here, like I was completely embarrassed of Instant Crush for a very long time. And it was because of those diner scenes we shot.
Oh yeah.
I was so for like low key people will know that there were some diner scenes we had shot that were supposed to be, you were supposed to see Cindy and Andy in the future talking about them in the past when they were young. And that's just now what the show is. It's just their memories in real time. But yeah, I hated that stuff so much and I was completely embarrassed and I thought like fuck, like I super fucked up like my one big chance to wow people with what I can do. But then I realized when I nixed those scenes, the fucking show was great on its own. And it played just so, like, it was just short and sweet. Like, before it was a little meatier, there was a lot more. There's, like, a whole other episode, like, an episode zero of just them in the future talking about, hey, so what the hell happened? And there's, like, a whole fight between them. And Angel's seen that first rough cut. We saw that first rough cut before we shot our first episode of the podcast.
Yeah,
remember that?
I remember you were so excited to just show anybody. You showed me and Brandon.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. Wow.
But yeah, I was completely embarrassed of just like how I had covered the rest of it. That first episode was fine, but I think there was just things where I was like, ah, this looks so amateur. But I'm like, but the rest of this like was great. Like the way we filmed it just freehand like that. And I even convinced like the producer, I said, can we just like just make it that? I said, I kind of don't care for the... And you know what? It had only gotten easier to do that because there was a lot of downsizing at the company anyway. So like at this point, they just wanted to put it out. They just wanted to put it out. So they're like, do whatever you want to do. And so I'm grateful that at least I got that freedom. And that's why I think people got to see it, because like not only did we get to have our way and make the show like as best as it possibly can be, but like you're missing some of the most iconic 90s level, you know, rom-com like peak performances, but like transcending that into like just grounded brown realism. It's so beautiful. And I think your performances really like elevated the material itself, because when I read the script, I think it's fine, but it was what you two had brought to it, and the fact that they had met each other that first time, like like with Bad Labor, like they just met each other on set. They're like, hi, I guess we're in love.
Yeah,
I guess that's what we're doing today.
The one thing I just want to just quickly say and add on, I mean, first and foremost, I completely agree. I think that one, it's a slow burn. I think that you never know, you know, especially with the internet, things being, you know, uploaded, they're there for quite some time, if not forever. The second thing I want to say is that you're right. You know, brown realism, I think it is an important, it's a very important story. It's a very important narrative and light and tone and aesthetic that we don't ever rarely get to see in film and media. But the thing that I want to just cap all that with is when you make really profound and exciting and refreshing and honest, authentic work like Instant Crush is, because it comes from your heart and it's filmed in this community. To be frank, when I work in a situation like that, personally speaking, I don't care what the reception is. I don't care what the outcome is, how much clout, how much recognition, whatever, festival circuits, distribution. It doesn't matter, because what, not to be, you know, super corny, but what really matters is the experience. And I got to work with an incredible young director. I got to make, you know, friends and family that I think and hope I will have, you know, for the rest of my life here in this realm. So at the end of the day, yes, of course, I hope so many more people see it. I hope it gets a resurgence. I hope the fans end up asking for the Snyder cut and they're like, no, Chris, we need the
episode. Never know. Nizalda is actually the only one that has it.
Really?
She has it for her real.
Use it for the real?
Yeah.
She has it.
It's in the email, but yes. I will use it.
It's in the email.
So at the end of the day, if you're making really special work, it doesn't matter what happens with it, because you can always have it and always have those relationships and always have those memories.
I would love to piggyback just so we can kind of like.
Well, I'm about to move on.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, but just like I completely agree. It's but it's
pretty, I got something to say.
It's pretty much like how we've talked about. You've asked me that question before. Like, do I feel like it got? I'm like, no, but just like with Bad Labor, just like with our show, even just like with this, I'm like, I know, and I'm completely fine with these things not blowing up to their peak now, because honestly, I would be kind of sad if all the greatness of Instant Crush literally happened a few months ago. To know that, like, at some point in my life when I don't even realize it, there's going to be a resurgence, then finally we get to do the movie, and fucking people are quoting Bad Labor at me, like, fucking all these years later, when they finally... I know that cult things take a process, and I came in admiring cult status artists, and so I'm fine with... I know that that's part of the journey.
The work will be recognized.
At some point, at the moment, it's all just about laying the groundwork, so that way... When you're taking longer breaks in between doing creative projects, people have an arsenal of stuff for you to fucking dive into.
That's true. Well, both of you mentioned how these roles and this project was like special to you in different ways. I guess what does that mean for you? Like, what does a special role mean? What do these roles mean to you? Like, what about them was different than like things you've done before, things you've done since? I guess like what stuck with you about what you did.
A bunch of brown people.
Yes.
Bunch of brown people, you know, couldn't tell me nothing.
It's all of us, bro.
Yeah, it's all of us.
No, for real, that was so crazy. Instant Crush was one of the first experiences I've ever had where not only everyone on set was like very, you know, young and talented and, you know, aspiring,
oh yeah, cool
but
set.
Everybody was, you know, was either a woman or a person of color. Mm-hmm. And that was so exciting, so refreshing. It was like, it was almost, you know, it was jarring how, unnatural it sort of felt, of like, what, I never get to work in this environment, how like that's what makes projects special.
Yeah, our
gaffer
and a camera op assistant, Maddie, and we had like two ladies behind the camera helping us, three ladies. We had Eviana, Eviana, like, yeah. Evie taking like fucking Evie. Evie shout out, Maddie. Yeah, she was doing the slate. We had Maddie, we had Michaela helping out. Michaela was
gaffer,
Maddie was helping with camera.
Yeah,
yeah, dude, it was just like there were, and then, you know, Louie doing the production design, which I love for that show, by the absolutely. way, and it was her idea to put the Bad Labor poster in the background,
and Jen doing costumes,
Tiffy
makeup,
exactly. It was such team. it was such a safe set, very very loving all around,
absolutely.
Yeah,
and it also, dude, it started it started with you, Chris, just being the leader of that, and you really set the tone. I didn't know you too well personally while making Instant Crush, so I didn't know that you were going through all this hurt. I knew that it was based off a true story, but I didn't know that you were, you know, trying to, you know, work it out through yourself. Not that you were putting on any sort of mask, because while on set, you were so positive and such a natural leader and just never stressed out or anything. And I think, you know, when someone at the top sets that tone, you know, it really, really resonates and trickles down to everybody else. And all of a sudden, this smaller independent project, you have people pulling their own weight and then some, because they have such a fearless leader, such a compassionate, you know, leader at the forefront of it all.
And it really happened when we got to the apartments, where it really just felt like everybody was like, all right, this is, we're on this pirate ship now.
We're all doing it.
I just remember everybody would watch in awe when Nizalba and Amelia would just run their scenes. Like there was the one where he's like, hey, you're gonna go walking alone. And when we were watching them rehearse, I just remember seeing Michaela and just like everyone just like watching like the back and forth. And it was so, everybody was just so hypnotized by it. It was a fun set to be on, for sure.
Yeah, I can definitely say that I agree with what he said. I mean, I appreciate how enthusiastic you were through and through. And I think a lot of that spunk is what made a lot of it happen. You know, the same way that you were not technically supposed to, but you did give him the job on the spot. Thank you for doing the same to me.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Chris is a very easy director to audition for. He just gives you the fucking role on the spot.
Turns out,
it's not that. She's like, not
my experience.
No. But I think a lot of that that enthusiasm and the tenacity that you have is very clearly translated on set with the people that, you know, came on.
Yeah, and it needed to be that. Otherwise, like, it would have just been a waste of everybody's time. Yeah. I had to be happy.
So why the fuck aren't there more Instant Crushes? Like, why is that so rare to have something as simple as Latino people and women like helping you create something. Why the fuck is that so hard to do? I don't get it.
You know what? Like I'll quickly say, because I do want you, I do want everybody's take on this, but I really think, and somebody pretty much told me, you know how I feel about the word luck. But oh, yeah. I do kind of agree. I really think we got super lucky because so much was happening at Me Too that had it been under their full control, like had we gotten that big ass Instant Crush rollout that we were all promised from like the beginning when we were talking about it's going to have this, we're going to try to pitch it to all these big companies. Like I would have been very unhappy with that final product because I'm for sure they would have wanted that diner stuff in there mm-hmm. just to build that world. And all the situations that, again, affected real lives, and it was a lot of losses were had during the process of this. But I think because of that, Instant Crush kind of was like the diamond in the rough of all of it, because it could have easily been not great. I think if I'm being honest, but it was because of all that was going on, all that went wrong, toppled by the fact that it was me and Asham, shout out Asham, who were pretty much working on the pretty much finishing this project on our own. It was really born out of circumstance, but the show was always designed to be like that. But it is, I don't know, it is tricky that it had to go through all that stuff just to come out in the best way possible.
I mean, I think that's why good movies are kind of rare.
Yeah, like you kind of don't know what to expect. You can only go in with the best intentions, and then whatever happens afterwards was whatever's going to happen afterwards. I really learned that on Instant Crush. Like, this could be really good or really bad. Thank God it's really good.
Fuck yes.
But what'd you, I don't know, what's your takeaway from all that?
The takeaway?
I mean,
yeah, what was the question, Chris? Yeah,
no, I think I'm curious about your experience. I mean, because Angel was asking, like, why is it so hard? Like, why is it so hard to get these stars aligning? And I'm really curious on what it's like. You know, from not only the female perspective, but the, you know, the Latina, the brown female perspective. Mm-hmm. What's it like out there in the trenches, Nisada?
Break it down.
Popping?
Well, there are so many different categories, and there's so many ways to answer that question, and it just depends how personal we want to get. I don't know. I can only speak from my experience. I've found myself in audition rooms that are calling in a Hispanic young female, and I go in the room and it's great because I'm like, cool, they want brown people. And then even then I feel like I don't want to offend anybody here.
Do it.
A lot of the girls in the room with me look white, so I don't know. And this is where
I'm so offended by that.
No, because
who are you gonna offend with that?
It's sensitive. It's like I don't want to. I don't think the color of anyone's skin takes away from how brown they are. Does that make sense?
I think that's a big issue.
But I think that Hollywood wants, like, okay, yeah, let's be more inclusive. Let's show more representation on screen. But then, you know, the Latina looks white. And they get like a lighter skinned black person, and then all of a sudden you have this like whitewashed cast. And again, the reason I was really hesitant to say it that way is because I would never ever want to take away from someone's ethnicity or their pride or their culture, their heritage, whatever, just because they came out lighter. My sister is super light skinned, you know, we look different, but we're just as brown as each other inside. Culturally, so that's why I was really walking on eggshells answering
totally,
that.
I totally get that.
I'm speaking from my personal experience.
Yeah, no, then that's why we want to know, because exactly. it's such an important conversation to be had, I think.
And that's what I see in the room, and then what I see after the fact is personal experience. Again, I go in for a feature, I knock it out of the park, and I can. It's very rare that I can say that about something because I'm so hard on myself. But when I feel good about something, I felt good. And then I get called back. Awesome. Chemistry read. I'm the only girl here. Oh, my God. Email. We went another way. Okay, cool. Mm. Movie comes out a year later. It's a white girl. Mm. All right, cool. So it's like, what is it? Why is it so difficult? I'm asking myself the same question. I don't know how to answer it because I'm in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. I'm part of it. So it's like, how do you answer a question when you are the question? I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm still battling it every day.
Dang, that was super good. That last. You really? How do you answer?
I think you're gonna.
I think you're gonna
give us a Peabody Award. That was fucking awesome.
That was crazy.
God damn.
No, but yeah, it's poignant. But that's. I mean, but that's honestly, and I could be real with you too. Like, yeah, I didn't imagine Cindy to look like you, but you were, and I respected that. Like, you were Cindy, even though it wasn't exactly to my imagination. And it was, like, the best fucking choice I could have ever made. And I think more people got to be in tune with it. Like, it's not about what you're used to seeing. It's about what, like, just, like, what, if they can embody the character.
Exactly. And that's
you.
Why I'm so appreciative of how everything worked out and how you work. Because, like he said, or you said, or everyone has said so far, if this were a way bigger caliber, if this were like going through execs and you didn't have the freedom to say you got the role,
yeah,
like on the spot,
that's
if
true.
This had to go through so many
that's
big
true.
Heads and then end up on like some random person's table that probably hasn't even seen my tape, they see my headshot and they're like, no, I don't know how that works, I'm not saying that that's exactly how it goes, but to meet someone like yourself that truly believes in performance and that alone carrying a project, I appreciate that because that's the only thing I have right now.
Yeah.
I don't come from connections. I don't come from money. I don't come from any of that. So it's like, thank you. That's really cool.
Yeah, you fucking spoiled ass motherfuckers.
Motherfuckers.
That come from fucking connected ass parents. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
That's Nizalda, not me.
I didn't say that either.
That's not me speaking. That's Nizalda.
No. Yeah. No.
It's so weird that you. That's a good point. That because it didn't go through too many people, that's how we got to make Instant Crush as best as we could. Because we knew what we wanted to see, and we are the audience. And it was a lot easier to have influence creatively on this than like if this went to a bigger company. So it could have, like I said, this could have easily not went that right way.
Emilio, what the fuck? Why isn't there more Instant Crushes?
Why isn't there more Instant Crushes?
Why isn't there more roles for you? Cause
no, I think just on that note, piggybacking on what Chris and Isadola were saying, I mean, first and foremost, like as a community, I think we got to stop, having this pissing contest of like who is more Latino than the other. Oh, you're not brown enough. You're not this enough. And we got to stop tearing each other down and start unifying. And I think part of the reason why. Maybe this is all hypothetical. I have no idea. But like part of the reason why, you know, these casting offices are struggling to get a more mixed, you know, variety of actors from the Latino community is because we need to start making content like Instant Crush to show that we come in so many different shapes and sizes and backgrounds and languages and voices, that there is such a variety to what it means to be a Latino or Latinx, whatever we're going with. Because I face, you know, sort of the opposite sometimes of going into, you know, roles that are, you know, bigger production roles in Hollywood that are looking specifically for Latinos. And I don't think that I fit the mold that Hollywood has, and I don't think you fit the mold that Hollywood, you know what I mean? So
I
we have to break those stereotypes and break those preconceived, you know, ideas and notions of what, oh, a Latino looks like this and sounds like this. And it's like, no, dude, that's the whole definition of how this word Latino even came to be. It's like, it's an entirety. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I was going to say,
another thing you told me too that really resonated with me. We were sitting right over there and we had to do some of our Instant Crush reshoots.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me two things that really stuck with me. For one, you said like, dude, like when you're watching, like, this is fucking beautiful. You said like, thank you for this. You're like, I have this forever. You're like, I can always look back at this moment in my life and when I shot this. Like, this is fucking awesome. He's like, and he's like, up until this point, he's like, all I've been playing was jocks. He's like, you just let me play a guy. He's like, that was cool. He's like, thanks for that. Like, I have not had the chance to just play a goofy, like, just a guy. He's like, that's
great.
Me.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool.
Perfect lead-in. I was going to say, there's probably so many layers to each of your identities that you feel like is tied to your Latino identity that you don't get to see. Like, you probably don't, you wouldn't guess it by looking at Emilio, but he's a fucking huge nerd. like we connected over anime like right away.
Dang.
I was like, fucking anime, dude.
Absolutely. No, it's true. I just I'm so caught by surprise at this whole podcast. I'm like, oh man, we're bringing up old audition tapes. Oh man, we're bringing up anime tendencies.
Yeah. Dude, yeah,
we're really taking all the skeletons out of the closet.
Yeah,
yeah, fucking man.
Nizalda's a fucking skating ass, cool ass person.
I'm not cool, man.
I've seen your skating videos.
She's very clumsy.
Pretty cool.
Oh my god, can we take a break? I'm so proud of myself for not getting hurt today.
You didn't.
But it's because I didn't do anything. Every time, every single time I've had a meeting, a shoot, or anything with Chris, I've gotten hurt. And
she always gets her. She's like, dude, check out this cut on my knee every time.
I don't say it like that. Check out
she's gnarly, bro.
I don't even say that word. I'm from the East Coast.
What do East Coasters say?
I don't really speak in lingo, gnarly, to be honest.
Gnarly,
but
bro.
Like, aren't you supposed to be getting better if you skate all the time? Why are you still getting hurt? Or is that just part of...
I think that's
bro,
the nature
you know what?
Of it, right?
This is the beauty of skateboarding. You will never be the best. There's always something to learn. There's always... And actually, even when you learn something in a week, you might not have that trick anymore, and you got to relearn it.
What?
Yeah.
It just goes away.
Those are life lessons. Skate lessons are life lessons.
It's a metaphor for life.
Everything you do is so philosophical. It's so like... So
that's the life she leads.
It's so profound. No. Like, you took skateboarding, and you were like... Here's the nature of skateboarding.
Ask any skater, though. Like, even
I've talked
to
skaters
you walk up to someone that, like, can't open their eyes, and they're like, that was gnarly. But, like, they will tell you something really deeply profound that they have learned from skateboarding.
You're like, you have to look beyond what they're saying into what they're really saying. When someone says, that's gnarly, bro.
Think about what that means.
Yeah. Think about that.
They're actually saying.
No, but really, it's the idea of trying something over and over again. Something very difficult. Something maybe not fun in the beginning because you suck at it. Something that a lot of people are afraid to do. And then you finally get it. And it's like, oh, shit, cool.
It's beautiful.
I think that's a good place to take a break.
Let's do it.
That was really profound. We'll leave it up on there.
We'll be back with more.
With more philosophy with Nisalda.
Pure note of our
notes.
We fucking found
the fucking video.
The video that did it all.
Look how excited Emilio is. This is what this is his what started it all.
This is his shining moment. We're about to watch.
This is not the start of my career. Don't say that.
We can talk as we watch this, but literally I just remember watching this and thinking, like, this is the guy. Like, he looks like me.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Just because I looked at you or because I'm acting like an...
Well, no, because, well, I mean, you weren't acting, so I knew I had to be like, well, okay, well, he for sure has the vibe. Let's see if he can act it. That was the point of the audition. Acting,
but all right, go ahead.
Well, you sold me.
This is not real.
This is happening.
Oh, no!
let's rewind it.
Yes!
In Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium for the World Series, Game 2, and I'm about to go on a blind date. Best case scenario,
you
this
starstruck?
Chick is someone that my mom can like. Worst thing that can happen is...
Were you trying to bob like the bobblehead? Dude, no cap. Dude, no cap. I saw her at Arclight when I was working there. I was gonna say hi, but I was like, nah.
I'm gonna meet my blind date. Astros are gonna win.
Oh, Astros for sure.
She is really an Astros fan.
But you are also a Dodgers fan, right?
Look at Emilio's. Emilio, look at you go. Yes, Emilio. Dude, and you know what? I told you, right? They interviewed her for Instant Crush. She was one of the people that I saw, that I read with. One of the first people I read with for Instant Crush. So it could have been
a reunion. That would have been really cute.
Just like,
that would have been cute, though.
Look at him. Look at him. Look at him living life. Cutie pie.
Great.
Sick soundtrack, bro.
Like, he was the prototype for Instant Crush, and he realized. And can you believe, look how perfect, like, Emilio, like, this is just so Andy, and people, like, I won't name names, but the people in charge were just like, really? Him? I'm like,
are you fucking kidding me? The one guy
I'm saying yes to, you're questioning.
He's like, no, I don't see it.
How do you not see it? Look at him.
Dude, that looks like Chris.
It looks like me. It's perfect.
Chris loves dogs.
Fuck you.
It's funny because this is
fuck
Andy.
You.
Like,
fuck
you are, Andy and this guy are the same.
Like, this is Andy when he's much older. You can get the sequel right here,
hey,
y'all.
He did do the Did you have to look up the lyrics to that song?
No,
I definitely
knew the words to that song. Thank you.
Oh, shit. Conflict.
I don't feel bad for her.
Aww. So cute.
She took it off.
She's like, go Astros!
Astros hit her home run, tied it up.
You think they rigged the game?
Maybe.
Me too.
There's no way.
Production value is huge.
Damn, what the fuck?
She said, no, I'm a lady. Dude, look at him. That's a star right there. You have to be stupid not to see that. You stupid. Not.
You know who you are.
You stupid.
Shit.
Damn, look at.
Why did they cut him off?
He's like Mike Wazowski. Or SpongeBob when he's in the commercial.
What was this?
Gym meme.
Dude, I hate people that wear their hats like that.
What, they don't got that little kid spunk?
Look at that.
Oh. Shh. You can get the white rose.
Second date, walk off together. If not, go your separate ways.
That's so messed up.
I'm
gonna walk off that way.
Okay.
Wanna join?
Sure.
Oh, that little. Wanna join? How could you not say that?
No, we have to do something else next time.
No. They set their differences aside.
We don't have to fight so much.
Yeah.
It's an algorithm for life, and that was the deciding factor.
That's
physically sweating. Like, I'm so
dude, yes,
and, like, hot.
Don't feel so good, does it?
Man, that
so
is cringy.
See how that feels?
That is so cringy.
But you see, I get like that when I see like old films that I do. I'm just like, fuck,
yeah.
What was I thinking?
Yeah.
You know who doesn't get like that?
Really? Why are you assigning that
lane?
To me? No, I like it. There's an obvious trajectory. I like that it's always the most current thing is always better than the last.
So what's something you have a reaction to that Amelia just said? Like something that you cringe at watching of yours?
My fucking Doritos commercial, dude. That's like the worst thing I've ever made.
Doritos? Let's do it. Doritos commercial.
Oh, Doritos.
Here we go.
It's a Doritos.
Chris did a Doritos commercial?
Hang on, let me.
Yeah, that'd be real crazy if he did a dreidel.
A dreidel commercial?
I was like, it's awfully random, but okay.
Yeah, I did like a.
Chris got really into dreidels for a little bit.
That ain't the move. Fuck them
people! Alright?
What?
I don't know what that was.
That was great.
That was Chris's Doritos commercial.
Fuck the people! Yeah, you see why I have a problem with it?
That's why it was the worst one.
Man,
he's like, yeah.
Now you know what? Now you know what?
I'll
play you something that's actually enjoyable to watch.
Is the Doritos?
No, I actually consider this like this is bad. This is cringy for me because I'm in this,
okay.
And I'm trying to act, and it's not good. Here we are.
Awesome.
The ultimate mouthwash is the name of this video.
Now we can watch Chris's acting.
It's from 2011.
Yeah, dude, I was making videos even back then.
You can give him some notes.
My old friend.
Are you not friends anymore?
They're not friends.
Oh man,
no, we're not.
You could have done without that detail.
No, I know.
Dude, that's
I
fucking
didn't
hilarious.
Know who this was.
My old friend.
That's my old friend. Next, we're gonna watch Chris react to Two Girls, One Cup.
I have that video. You know what? I'll play that. Dude, I have a lot of videos of me. I have a lot of videos of me.
I think that's the good one.
Yeah, that's a perfect one, Angel. You're a fucking genius. Thank you.
I'll sit that one out.
You don't see it.
You don't see it.
It's just a reaction.
Yeah, I'm just reacting. Oh,
okay. So imagine little Chris reacting to Two Girls, One Cup.
Yeah, and that's a real video online. Okay, here we go. Okay, so you know what? We thought it would be the Doritos commercial. We thought it would be Ultimate Mouthwash.
But
it's not.
Third time's the charm. We found.
And three's my lucky number.
And we found the video.
All right. This is the first video on my YouTube channel.
6 years ago.
We're really doing this.
Two Girls, One Cup. And I uploaded it 6 years ago. This is actually made in 2010. All the way back then. Here we go.
Right next to Chris's Bruno Mars. Right.
And then there's my old friend.
Yes, again.
My old friend.
You look the same.
Thanks.
Okay. 14.
Oh, God.
15, and we're going to watch Two Girls, One Cup for the
so
very
first time.
Why are you being so heavy?
Well, trying to make a point here, you know?
Shut up, dude.
Right, here we go.
Alright. Oh, God.
Dude, I just really wanted to clown this food. Just,
I don't know what the fuck for the shield. I'm already here, like, me too.
Oh, my God.
Look, this is the best part of it right here. Look.
That's so cute.
You're like gagging.
So we're having an awfully visceral reaction to this. No, we're not winning.
Did you say stink up?
I said stink up.
Oh my God.
I drank hey. Even his face, dude. Who wouldn't run away?
No!
Bro.
Oh my God.
Listen.
No.
That shit killed me. He like threw up in that cooler.
Oh my God.
Take this shit off.
How do you take this shit off? Oh my God. So after that.
Okay, so then I'm just saying we're gonna try it again.
We're just gonna go to the.
I'll be the first one out.
Yeah. Okay, man.
Ah,
busted! Oh no, just wait till the end.
God, I can't see this again.
Shut up, bitch!
I can't see this again.
Watch this.
He's like not even reacting. Okay.
Oh, this is when they're like doing it to their teeth, like the caca. Yeah, that's it.
Oh,
Chris.
Chris,
the commitment. Chris.
My mom walks in at the
What's
end.
What's going on, Chris? Oh.
What's going on, Chris?
And the mom's just puking on the floor.
Yeah.
There you go.
Did
yeah.
she know?
No. So we said we were wrestling. Okay. That's sad.
So y'all just came back from watching little baby 14-year-old Chris.
14-year-old me.
Force himself to throw up in front of his friends and his family.
Thanks.
Thanks for that.
And it wasn't even like vomit. It was like spittle.
It was just spittle.
Yeah.
It was a lot of dry heaving.
Baba.
Yeah. I remember when that video was pretty big.
Yeah, me too. What were we going to ask us?
I remember I wanted to ask. Well, we were just talking about watching other people's auditions for the roles that these two got. And then I asked Chris, what about their auditions did they capture that the other people didn't? Damn, these people are dying. Look at them.
Hey, what's so funny?
I'm laughing at your cough. You're trying to hold it together.
We're good.
Yeah, so, you know.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit.
This podcast is falling apart. I guess it's good at falling apart.
Honestly, I knew I was going to have fun. I didn't think I was going to be laughing this hard.
Dude, that's straight.
Man.
That's straight slapstick. Anyway,
I'm dying.
And then we look at the camera.
Oh, no.
you were asking me what about Emilio and Isolde stood out. Emilio was a real person, and Isolde was a real person. Nobody was acting. They were breathing human beings with a pulse, and that was it. That's all I needed. He looked like me, so he had a bit of an advantage. That's why it was the easier choice. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, no, like, but they played it just so straight. There was no, there's no what I like to call Disney Channel acting, you know, like that overdoing it. And there were a lot of great, also just like actors in there too, that playing, you know, auditioning for Cindy and Andy and everybody. But I think at the end of the day, it ultimately just came down to like, who do I remember the most? Like, who felt like my homie? Because a lot of them were based off my homie. Shout out to Brian Arion. Shout out to Jeremy Faya, who were also in the series. Bo Smart, Casper. Dude, literally, it never fails. Every time I show that first episode of Instant Crush and fucking Casper comes out, everyone's like, is that Casper? It's always, is that Casper? Is that J-Lo's ex-boyfriend?
My mom asked.
My mom, too. She's like, that's Casper. Like, how do you know who Casper is? I don't know. But he felt the closest to what I wanted to see in Andy, you know. I was saying, like, if I had to compare him to anyone back then that I could think of that was closely related in cinema, was Jon Favreau in Swingers. Just kind of like that nervous, you know, he's okay looking, but he's not that good looking. Which Emilio completely, like,
he's
was
okay looking.
He's okay looking. He's fine.
I think Jon Favreau's hot. I thought he was
okay in that movie. In but you know, but it was like, yeah, he could be our lead. And I just feel closer to him because he's not like, his troubles make sense to him. Like the things he deals with, yeah, of course he would be that bad ex in a breakup. Like, he just seems like that guy. I would not believe it if it was, you know, beautiful ass 1990s Vince Vaughn, you know. Like, it's, they, everybody just fit the role so well to the point where it was not even like I was casting the role. It's just like, oh, hey, Andy, nice That's to meet huge. You. Yeah, there you are. I finally know what you look like. Ooh. It's like trying on different glasses auditioning.
For Isolde too?
Yeah. Well, and then Isolde just like right away. I have that story, yeah. Isolde.
Yeah.
No, and I was gonna say, oh, this is the point I wanna make. It was easier for Emilio.
Yeah.
No. It was a quick, wait, what was, okay, yeah. Emilio had the better time, I would say, and Isolde, you went through a little bit more emotions, but during the shooting, like I told you, I had to talk to you less. And it was me and Emilio that were really trying to find, like, I just
you
remember
know,
recap.
I took that personally.
And I pulled you aside for that. Do you remember what I told you? Do you remember?
Because
you were like, you're just like, not like, I just remember, like, I was just like noticing I would only go to Emilio for notes. And you were just like standing around. And then I said, I remember it was right before we did the pool scene. I said, I hope you know, like, you're fucking nailing it. Like, I don't, like, regardless, like, not regardless, there'll be, if there's an adjustment, I'll make it, and I have. I'm like, but otherwise, you're like,
okay,
like, you know what you're doing. I know with Emilio, like, it was, I had to find a good middle ground because I wanted Emilio to be too much like me, but that was, I didn't realize that was just gonna limit his performance. So that's why we both, it was especially during the diner scene, where we were like really like finding it, and then by the time we had gotten to the apartment stuff, which is the whole show. Like, that's kind of where we were like, okay, well, I think we know what we want to do with this guy. And we finally found who he is. Because it's not just me anymore. When I wrote it based off of me, but now it was like, it's me and Emilio. It's like our baby, Andy.
When the both of you look back at who you were during the Instant Crush time, and you look at yourself now, what would you say is the biggest difference between those two people?
I think one of the biggest differences, if I look back then and compare it to who I am now, is when I was portraying Andy, I think that there is a lot of, what was so much fun about that character was how animated he was and how just full of life, Andy. Since then I've become way more jaded and full of less life.
Nice.
You leave off on that? You're not gonna have a happy ending?
I wanted to think it was a joke, but I was like, if it isn't, I'm fine with either.
It's,
or
it's not really. No.
I think there's reality.
I think being in this industry specifically too, like, and it's not that I have lost any sort of life or energy or positiveness towards, you know, this dream that I've been on, you know, with you guys. But you get a more validation of who you are as an artist as you continue through the trenches, and as you get more scarring, you know, more artistic scarring, you know, you solidify a little bit of who you are and your place and what you bring to the table and what you want to do. I think when I was playing Andy, there was more of a free fall through this industry of just flowing with it and just going with it and being positive and grateful. And I still have that positivity and that gratefulness, but now I think there's a more directness. There's a more steering of where I want to torpedo down towards, you know, rather than free falling and just kind of going with the wind.
Your career, your focus is more streamlined.
It's more streamlined. Everything, my energy, my visions, everything.
And I it can take away a little bit of that like looseness, which came with being, you know.
Yeah.
How you were back then. There was not an immaturity with Andy,
but there was like a young like he was hoven, and like, you know, not that I'm not, you know, full of that life anymore. I can't emphasize that enough. But like, you know, there's a certain level of grit that gets under your belt.
Absolutely.
After a while.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I've got to say, I do agree, from a different angle, but I do agree. I think it's been just as challenging, as it was back then. You know, I was just saying that I was in a weird place, like the headspace that I was in, I was kind of starting over, and it feels like that every fucking time after every job. I feel like I'm starting over, and that's where I relate to the grit that you mentioned. It's like, you would think it's like, oh, I booked a project, like onward and upward, and it's like, on the one hand, sure, you have one more thing on your resume, one more thing on your reel, and one more experience, a new family, so to speak. But out there in the world on your own, which is the reality, it's hard. It resets every time, especially for actors. I think I've been struggling because now I got a taste of what it's like to be cast for my performance and nothing else. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the breakdown for Cindy, she's petite, she has freckles, she wears glasses, she has long hair.
This is Cindy.
I don't fit the description.
You don't got any of those things.
But like you were saying earlier, there was just something that clicked, and that was enough. But in the real world, quote unquote, in the bigger game, it's not enough. It's never enough. So I just feel like since shooting Instant Crush, I keep tripping over the same rock. I'm constantly trying to prove myself because I got a taste of someone believing in me and my talent. And so I'm still holding on to that, but I have to wake up. I have to come to the realization that there is a game, and I am a player, and no one's holding a gun to my head. This is what I want to do.
Absolutely.
So I have to navigate that. I have to. How do I do this thing that I want to do, but jump through all these fucking hoops and walk through fire and walk on water and like just small talk? Ew. And you know, like how do I do all of that? Yeah. Just to do this one little thing I want to do, which really shouldn't be such a damn fucking show to get to, because it should be authentic. It should be real. So, like, if someone's right for the part, someone's right. What did I tell you right before we started recording? That a project I didn't get cast on, I looked it up, and the woman who was cast put me at peace with not getting the role, because I realized she was right for the part. And it would be selfish of me to be upset or jealous that she got it and I didn't, because I realized, wow, I could find that character in me, but she is that character. So I'm happy for her. She got it. Awesome. But like, it's so rare for that to happen in this industry. And he's right. It's like, it beats you down. And so you have to kind of build your backbone. And that's what I've been doing this whole year. But on another note, on a more...
So if you want to be an actor...
if you want to be an actor...
Yeah, I hope I'm not deflating anybody.
No, no. It's just the reality. By all means, like, go for it. If it's what you want to do, go for it. But just know that there's a lot to it. It's not just what you see on social media.
Yeah, it's not always rainbows and butterflies.
No.
It's compromise. It moves us along. Nope, okay.
Yep.
Maroon 5?
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. All right, cool.
I just didn't want to sing it.
I don't mind singing every day. Out on the corner in the park. Stop before they sue us. Fuck you, Adam Levine. You're not going to get me this time, bitch.
This time. Anyway. Not this time.
I wish we had enough money to have Adam Levine like slowly come up to the window, and then he heard you say, damn it.
We'll get you this time. Get there, son of a bitch.
Well, it's like that Key and Peele episode.
The good thing is, I love that I once again, yet again, made the right choice in casting. It's another solidified moment in Brown history not be right. Thank you. Just give it up for me. These people are fucking superstars, and their level two is happening as we fucking speak. Let's talk new projects, everybody.
Okay. Fuck yeah, level two. So I don't know how much you two know about the season, but this is called Yes Podcast Level Two because me and Chris feel we've upgraded from the versions of us last year.
Hell yeah.
Like, we're in a different place. Chris likes to call it the prequel to who we are now.
Yeah, for sure. The first season was a prequel. Absolutely. Yeah,
and so, like, now we're going into our own. We're building, we're creating the projects that are going to define us for, like, the rest of our lives. And so we want to talk about the things you're doing now and what's, like, kind of shaping your life now.
Who wants to start?
No, well, first of all, I love that. I love that you guys are aware that, you know, season one of this podcast was a prequel and that you were, like, on this journey and solidifying yourselves, you know, as artists. And you guys are doing a kick-ass job. I can't emphasize that enough. How great this show is, how great you guys are, and how comfortable it is to speak with people like you. And yeah, it's just an honor to call you guys my friends, like, first and foremost. Family, for sure.
You all right.
Yeah. You all right. You're cool. Really. Yeah.
I'm happy for you, too. You're great.
But what are you working on, Isolda?
I have...
I will gas you up if you don't say it.
No. I have representation now.
Yay!
So isn't that cool?
That's good.
Dude, post instant crush, man. Can I say it? No, you can say it. Go ahead.
What?
Post instant crush? Yes. Post instant crush, because you talk about how you went into that project, like, you know, it was very, like, you know, difficult time for you. There's adversity. You were going through a lot of changes. And then you never knew that after instant crush, my agency reached out to me and was like, yo, who is this individual? This person's super dope. And I, like, instantly was like, bruh, now do it. And how has that been going, bruh?
They reached out to you? That's so nice. I thought you
Bruh, yeah, I can show you the email. Absolutely.
He texted me. He said, yo, my agent super love Nizalda and all these other people.
That's so nice.
And I was just like, what about me, Emilio?
Hold on. They love Chris. They don't sign directors or writers. It's just talent.
I'll get them next time.
I thought they had a writer and director department.
No, not that.
No, definitely not.
He's like, for sure they did not. He's like, they
shut up, shut up.
Shut the fuck.
Shut up.
No.
But that's so cool. Like, yes, I just awesome. Think that's cool because you never know, like, what's going to happen around the corner. Like, you never know what instant crush is going to turn into next, like an opportunity with new representation. That's awesome. Yep. But talk about the thing you've been doing that's really, really cool.
Please.
In this case, cool means scary. I've been writing music.
Hey! My girl's dropping fire tracks. Check her out on Spotify and Apple Music and every other music streaming site. How can they find you, dude?
Oh my god. Thanks, guys.
Bro, your music is great.
We're hype. It's fucking
so
amazing.
Good.
It's
literally sick. Comes on randomly and I'll be like jamming out to it. You know when sometimes friends give you music, it's just like, oh cool, like no, it's like it's so legit and sounds professional. And so wait a minute, on this musical note, I'm sorry, I know I'm hijacking this a little bit because this is something I'm immensely proud of, is just my friends being like, you know, a multitude of artists. They're not just actors. They're not just directors. Because Chris does the same thing. Chris has not only incredible tracks, but incredible, like, visual films that go along with his... Dude, Astro RA, you sent that to me way before you dropped it. And I was bumping that in my car all the time. That track is hot. Sorry.
No, go ahead. This is good because it's true. And I also want to comment. I want to piggyback on that. When you say you're going to do something, you fucking do it.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
That's
it's rare.
That's the only way to do it.
No, but it's you don't understand how rare
that's
that
is. That's a huge thing, Chris.
It's a big
thing. And you're younger than us, both you guys, man. That's something like...
It's great. It's really... It's,
that's the bee's knees, man.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's respectable. It really
I mean, I what better now time than to do it?
Why is music so scary to make?
Oh, because it's like I'm writing it and I'm not trained and the experience I have is like my car and locking myself in my room because my mom was super strict, so I would just like teach myself an instrument and then buy another one and do the same thing and buy another one, and that's kind of how I came to play music. It's just by teaching myself in my room when I was depressed, and then moving out here, you meet actual people in the industry, and I'm like, whoa, I'm never gonna do this for a living. There's no way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's first of all, it's so hard. I mean, acting is hard. Fuck, music is really hard.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there's also the side of it where it's like, I want to be respected. When I put something out, I want it to be good quality. I want to take my time. I want to make sure that I'm saying something that means something, not just to me, but hopefully to someone else who's hearing it. So all of these factors in, I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself. So I'm scaring myself. I'm psyching myself out of it. But then again, you know, when you consider the industry at large, it's like, whoa, like, how the hell am I going to do this? I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm not trained. I've never done this shit. So, like... You know, then you meet just the right people. And in my case, it was David Pizzamenti. He's the one who...
Shout out.
Huge shout out. He's the one who's produced everything. And it was like the short side of the story is some years back, a mutual friend of ours introduced us. And we've been loosely working together ever since. And it was always just like, hey, I have this loose song idea. Come on over. Let's record it. Cool. Let's do that. And then more recently, I have like this... handful of songs that I've written, and they're all more or less in the same genre, and they tap into this jazz that I used to perform because it kind of stuck with me, and I wanted it to mean something, and so we worked on it for a little while, and finally putting it out was just so fucking scary because I never intended to. It was just a hobby. It was something that I liked to do and something kind of that I needed to do. I've always been the person that writes in a journal. I have journals dating back from when I was a wee lassie. And then writing music was just kind of an extension of that. I just didn't expect it to go anywhere. It's very personal. And here we are just putting it out literally on the quote-unquote legitimate
along.
Platform.
Yes.
So I'm like, anyone can hear this. This is...
She already has the picture on fucking iTunes. That's sick.
That's so sick.
How about you
do
that? Tell me after.
Everyone, listen. Fucking links right here. Go listen, and now you'll know.
Links are all going to be in the descriptions of all our episodes.
Fucking powerhouse. How does one human hold so much talent? You can skate. You can act. You can sing. You can dance. You can...
All of it requires falling again and again. So just get back up. You can do it.
I've never...
So good. All of it does require.
Speaking the
problems.
Truth, sweet eyes. I love that voice. Sorry. I
love that, dude.
Wow.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun. What am I doing? Dun. Emilio.
I thought you were dropping a beat, bro. I thought I was going to get a musical.
Yeah, that was it. Emilio.
Oh, shit, sorry.
Emilio.
There you go.
What's
so
that?
I mean, most of our ladies that are watching this are for sure here. They're like,
I want him to talk about it.
So here he is. He's talking about it, Emilio. Talk about a little thing you're doing.
So
okay, not the big thing, but then also the short film you got.
Oh, so wait, which one? What am I talking about?
First the little big thing, and then the short film. because that's really
short film is the big thing. And then the other thing
is the little big thing. Is the little big
is, I'm on this television show on Netflix called The Society.
Hype. Netflix.
You can catch. Yeah.
Fat checks.
Oh wait, that's
big dicks.
No.
Sound effects.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Netflix
like,
is like. Oh, sorry. That's gonna sound.
Damn, good. He's like. Anyway, let's go.
Thank you, all you guys, for that. There's a show called The Society on Netflix. You can stream the whole first season right now.
It's fantastic.
It's a lot of fun. It's really crazy. It's about a bunch of young teenagers who get somehow transported into a new world or new reality of a town that is identical to the town that they grew up in, except that there's no parents and no internet and nobody else. It's just the high school class. So they are forced to create a new society on their own. And I play Jason, who's a jock, one of the military jock bros.
Perfectly perfect job,
you know, as we heard right in my vein.
More layered, dynamic job.
Yeah. He's definitely a layer.
A real guy.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's. It was an incredible opportunity to work with, you know, not only everybody in the cast, but you know, with a streaming giant like Netflix, who's really just spearheading, you know, how we consume and create media, you know, in the last decade. So it's been just an incredible opportunity. Super excited that we go to back to Boston in 2020 to film season two. Woo-hoo! And that's going to be really, really awesome.
You can't get rid of them yet.
Can't Netflix. Get rid of me not yet. Nope.
He's here for a second one.
Also, just a little exclusive to this podcast only. I hear that there's going to be more than 10 episodes for season two.
Oh, shit.
So it's going to be a lot. The
ladies are just
exclusive.
Yeah, you know what you're doing.
I don't. But it's been a great opportunity, guys. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Do you remember right before you got this job, we were going to do the Instant Crush reshoots, and then you had told me, like, yo, brother, like, I hate to ask you for this, but I'm going to need to ask just for, like, a little bit of compensation just because it's going to take time in my day. We're like, for sure, we'll work something out.
Yeah.
Literally, like the next day, I think you were just like, "Hey, brother. By the way, don't worry about the don't worry about that payment on the shoot. Like, I got it."
Did that? Was that in the same timeline?
It was literally like a day or literally the next day or a day or two after. And then I'm like, "What happened?" And you're like, when we met up, you're like, "Bro, I got this Netflix show. I'm all good."
Wow.
Money making.
Wow. We were in my dad's old.
Now wait a minute. I wanna clarify this story a little bit because it wasn't just the fact that I had this Netflix show. I feel like yes, that was a huge incentive to buy groceries and work for free for a little bit. But also I remember feeling really bad. I remember feeling really bad that I was like asking for money to work. And it's a tough balance being an artist. You know, you want to support your friends and you want to do this work, but also you want to have like, you want to know your own worth.
Yeah,
you know, you want to.
Completely fair.
But I remember asking that and feeling really, really bad about it. And I remember thinking, God, dude, who the heck do you think you are? Like, Chris is making this beautiful work. Like, get your ego out of it and go help him finish this thing so like the world can see it. And I did have, it wasn't just solely because I'm a financial monster and like all of a sudden like and I have Netflix pain. No, like that definitely influenced it, but I definitely had a struggle and a realization of like, yo man, finish the work, don't trip about the money stuff, let that take care of itself. And not to go on a soapbox about like entrusting the universe or anything like that, but like just trust that it's going to work out okay. Yeah. If you make the good judgment call to you, have faith that the next step you're going to be taken care of. And I was, you know, and all sides of the coin, not just Netflix, but, you know, with how Instant Crush turned out, those reshoots were some of the coolest stuff.
Yeah, they walking really across the side.
Yeah, that montage is sick. Yeah. And you got to showcase your community through
man. That was definitely the goal with that. And again, I have to shout out Ashim for that because that was his idea to be like, you can use this opportunity. We'll go out. We shot with like a different camera.
Yeah.
But just go out to iconic a set of landmarks and just shoot Andy doing something around it. So we shot in front of Gage Bowl. We shot at the Pacific Street, that shot where you're walking through past the title.
And the your famous restaurant. Well, it's not your famous restaurant.
Tacos Mexico, Pino Burrito.
Pino Burrito,
in the Carmonaverse is what it's called.
Carmona, that's so good.
But yeah, that was, thank you for that. Yeah, that was just a big moment because I remember I didn't even know what to expect from that Netflix show. I was even like, I remember when I was watching you post it on your stories, I was like, oh damn, I guess Emila's really in this because I had an actor before who was in La La Land, the guy who plays the dad in Bad Labor, Daisy's dad in the beginning, the Call the Police or whatever. Uh-huh. He was in La La Land. He shot us like a full scene, and they cut him like right before the movie came out.
Yeah.
And so I never knew, but when I saw that you were there, like filming car chases, I was just like,
the famous gif of you going,
dude.
That one, they love that.
We're pulling
photo.
It up right here.
They milk that photo so much, dude.
We need one of those from you.
No.
No.
Do it.
Do it.
Don't do that.
Well,
don't do. They'll have it forever, and you'll.
And that's why I'm not doing it.
You do have one more project.
I do.
You have one more project to talk about.
I do. Yeah. I just finished actually today. I think I got the master. Final cut, is that what you call it?
Yeah.
The master, yeah. Of,
picture lock. Was it picture lock?
Picture lock of a short film that I wrote and produced.
Holy
Yeah.
Hey, director?
No, I didn't direct, not yet, not this project. No, I was very fortunate enough actually to collaborate with a wonderful Latina young filmmaker who I actually went to school with. I went to Cal Arts with. She was in the film and video program. And she was the biggest just blessing and guardian angel because I had this idea and I knew that I wanted to create something and, you know, exercise other, you know, creative muscles and stay busy within the industry and not having just to succumb to whatever Hollywood wants to, you know, throw at me. And I think all those are very important. And Erica Ortiz is the name of this fabulous young filmmaker. She spearheaded everything. It was very collaborative. I used a lot of resources and individuals that I had gone to school with, and I think that's the biggest benefit of going to school is so that you get, you know, this network of not only really talented top-tier individuals, but people you consider family that you want to collaborate with, that you want to work with, that understand your vision and what you're trying to achieve. So that was a huge blessing, getting all those pieces together and just how helpful everyone was and how passionate everyone was, very much like Instant Crush, to get the job done. But Erica, like, was just the quarterback, the leader. She did everything in pre-production. She filmed the stinking thing, and then she did everything in post-production, you know. And I had help along the way. Don't get me wrong. You know, you helped me, Chris. Remember I hit you up, and I was like, dude, give me a colorist. Like, please.
Oh, and the colorist, too.
I hooked up with
Rustam Vakilov. Awesome
Rustam hooked it up, and then they were able to network, and they worked on another short film after my short film, and so he got like gigs from that.
Yes.
So it was a huge level collaborative process. Yeah,
that's
man.
That's awesome, dude. So what's any plans for it, or do you not want to say yet?
I truthfully, like, all the details are still up in the air. So, like, you got to do like the festival circuit and see how well it does there. And we've already submitted to a really big festival that I'm, you know, fingers crossed for. But a lot of like the rules and regulations with these festivals is that you can't really like screen it or release you know, because they want the exclusivity to it. But I think it's a really good story. And, you know, same thing with Instant Crush, man, regardless of, you know, how much success it quote unquote has, at the end of the day, I'm immensely proud of what this team was able to put together and to have, you know, a tangible, like a thing, like a physical, tangible object, you know, digital object that I can look back to and be like, we made a thing. As actors, we don't really get that opportunity too much if we're lucky enough to be in film and television and something, you know, like Netflix that's going to be up there for a while that I can look back on. But as actors, it's all in our imaginations. You know, a musician has an instrument, a sculptor has, you know, marble, but actors, it's all like in our heads and we're imagining these circumstances and imagining these characters. So just to have a tangible, you know, short film that is not only mine, but from a memory, from a childhood memory. That's just, it's such a special thing. And I implore and highly suggest to anyone listening, if you have any inkling of creating something, whether it be film or art or whatever, just do it. Do it. Take that first step. And that's all you need. Even if it's scary, even if it's intimidating, even if, you know, all your chips are on the line, just do it and trust.
Especially if it's scary, because I've learned that when something is so scary, but you think about it so much anyway, it's because you really want it and because you want it to be good. And that's a great thing. You know, when you act on that fear, you realize that's the only thing in your way. And once you get past it, you can do so much more.
Fucking beautiful. Let's go get that final guest.
I'm speechless.
Let's go get that final guest, bro. And
wrap all right, up. Let's wrap this baby up.
Oh, look, your old friend. The
her
Rose. She's back.
Get over here, my love. How are you?
What's going on?
Stepping on the mics.
Oh, it's okay. She
always looks depressed.
The one cast
member—that's just her face.
The one cast member that none of you ever talked about, fucking Rosie,
because she stole the show.
Yeah, I mean, what?
That's why
she was such a diva, though.
Yeah,
she was.
How so? Oh, has she
no,
gotten
she wasn't.
The last time you saw her,
but
she's totally bigger.
Yeah, hell yeah,
100% bigger.
She was super skinny. Come here, baby.
What's up, itchy butt?
Don't listen to them.
Look at this dog.
All right, well, that was our episode, y'all. Thanks so much for tuning in.
What the fuck?
Thank you for everything. Yeah, does anybody have any last words or plugs? Anything they want to plug right before we go? We only have like 2 minutes of film left.
I just want to say thank
go
you.
Go to Spotify and look up Nisarda's song.
Nisarda, please.
Go on Netflix and watch The Society.
Hell yeah.
But do that one
go
first.
Go on Me Too and watch Instant Crime.
Yeah.
And
then
listen
to
us
listen
podcast.
To the
podcast.
Podcast.
Thank you very
go.
Much. Because even when we lose, we win. Thank you very much, y'all. Catch you later.
Fuck yeah.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Chris. Thanks for listening to another fucking awesome episode of the Us Podcast.
Level 2.
If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can follow at the Chris Carmona.
You can follow me at Angel Eye Salinas _.
Make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at Us Podcast and check out our YouTube channels because we really need that support from y'all right now.
Listen to us on Spotify, listen to us on Apple Music, listen to us on Stitcher, literally anywhere you can get your podcasts.
You literally have no fucking excuse not to listen to us, bitch.
Whoa!
I'm back, baby! Just kidding. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Bye.
Oh, thanks, y'all.
Holy shit. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.